The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello. Hello, America. You know, for years, Pat has been talking about the mean streets of Helena, Montana.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've seen them with
Gianforte.
If you don't know this story about a guy running for Congress in Montana, maybe you won't be amazed. I actually don't know how people are going to react to this. But we're going to start there with a Republican congressman who knocked the lights out of a reporter. We have it on tape. You decide. We begin right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
I mean, this guy has no restraint. What name?
Greg Gianforte. And when I was in Montana last week or the week before, I saw ad after ad. In fact, they're running so many political ads. You'll run like his competitor, then Gianforte. Competitor, Gianforte. Back to back to back to back. It's pretty unbelievable. Everybody on the network cable shows are calling him Gianforte, but
because they are
Gianforte.
It's Montana. It's Gianforte.
Right.
And so that's what he calls himself?
It seemed to be in the ads. Yeah.
So Gianforte.
Yeah.
Okay. So so Greg Gianforte is a guy who's running for Congress. They've got one seat. And he's running against a guy who's a Bernie Sanders socialist. It is uncomfortably close.
The reason that they're having an election now is because the former congressman was taken by the Trump administration.
Interior, I think.
Mm-hmm. And so okay, Montana.
Good. I'm glad you finished that and didn't leave it just as he was taken by the Trump administration.
It was a terrible incident. His family is still looking for him.
So Montana only has one congressman. It used to be like bare minimum two, right? Everybody had at least two, but obviously they changed that rule. Because it seems that...
I know, it's for senators, but obviously...
Yeah, but I thought every state had at least two...
No, it's all...
Has it always been that way?
No, it's always been that way. It's due to... It's geared directly to population.
I knew that.
It's always two in the Senate.
I knew that, but I thought...
Well, you thought wrong.
I thought wrong.
One congressman
and
for
he's
a state.
He's our friend of the Constitution over here.
Yeah, that's a good gig. I mean,
no kidding.
That's more power in Montana, at least, than the senators have.
Right.
Mm-hmm. So
it's a lot. Anyway, so here's the problem. He's having a private meeting, and a member of the press from The Guardian, and not the Montana Guardian. This is a foreigner that we just let in. comes in, and somebody else from The Guardian had apparently tried this before. Where they just kind of break in and...
Yeah, this is his spin on the story. Yes. This is not...
We've got it on tape.
That's what he's saying on the tape.
Yeah, the private meeting part of it is questionable.
He's uninvited, they say.
Yeah, there's other media there that witnesses this.
Well, yeah, listen to this and see what you think.
The candidate was about to do an interview with Fox News when Guardian U.S. reporter Ben Jacobs, uninvited, came into the room to ask him a question.
To the CBO score, because you know you were waiting to make your decision about healthcare until you saw the bill and it just came out. And what you thought about it.
I mean... With that question, he's lucky he didn't get killed.
How dare you ask about the CBO? The scoring of the healthcare bill?
Yeah.
My God.
Background on this, Gianforte had taken a position of trying to get basically through this election without taking a position on healthcare. Yeah. So he was basically saying, look, I can't answer this yet because I haven't seen the CBO score. There was talk about how he had talked behind the scenes that he was going to support it, but didn't want to say it during the campaign.
But I mean, he's a Republican. Why wouldn't you say it?
Because you're running against a socialist who is the candy man.
You've also got a bill with about a 30% approval rating.
Yeah.
So his point is, you know, why, I don't need to take a position on this. I can win without doing it, I'm sure.
Right.
So he holds off. Well, unlucky for him, the CBO score comes out like the day before his election.
That is unlucky for him.
So, but that context is important because he's the one who set that standard. Yeah. He's the one who said, I will answer this after the CBO score comes out. And so this is a completely fair question from the reporter.
Although,
oh my gosh, what
he
are
was
you?
Not invited into the room.
You are a spy. You're a foreign English spy. Let me just tell you something. Remember 1812.
Thank you, Glenn. Hey,
we kicked your ass twice. Right. Saved
we'll
your ass twice.
We'll do it again.
Yeah.
Don't have any heritage from.
Oh, then why are you supporting him?
I'm supporting who?
The Guardian guy.
I don't even know that he's English. I think he's actually American.
Whatever.
He's U.S. Guardian.
Yeah, but there's not going to be time. I'm just curious if you have the
speak
right
with
now.
Shane, please.
Jacobs captured the sound of what happened next.
Listen to this.
I'm sick and tired of you guys. The last Jesus time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here. The last guy did the same thing. You were the Guardian?
Yes, and you just broke my glasses.
The last guy did the same damn thing.
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
Gru from Fox News watched in disbelief. They say Gianforte grabbed Jacobs by the neck with both hands and slammed him into the ground behind him. The Fox crew says Gianforte then began punching the reporter. As Gianforte moved on top of Jacobs, he began yelling something to the effect of, I'm sick and tired of this.
I mean, this is, again, Fox News witnessed it happening. So it's not, you know, fake news or anything like that. And, you know, there's witnesses. You obviously heard the video. I mean, the audio is incredible because it's so amazing. But the fact that their actual account of it is worse. I mean, because I can't tell that he's being punched in the audio.
No, there's at one point you hear him go. Yeah. I mean, you do hear.
I guess
like somebody's like choking him or something.
Now in Montana, you know, Trump won by 20 points, and so part of his message at least connected. And is it the part where they're sick and tired of the media? And so maybe even helps Gianforte? I don't know.
I hope not.
Because he's going to be a problem for the Republican Party if he's elected.
Because I think the standard way people might talk about this today is, well, hopefully he wins or whatever. Remember what's going to happen here. This is one seat. The Republicans have a majority. It's not a one-seat majority. If they were to lose this seat, this goes away. And then in 2018, they're in an incredibly friendly district where they can run basically anyone that doesn't assault reporters and win.
I mean, this is the night before the election.
And before the election.
You can't hold it together for just another minute or two?
Right. He didn't have the strength to hold out before he starts choking reporters for two days.
After the election.
Yeah, right.
Do it tomorrow.
Yeah, tomorrow you can choke all the reporters you want.
But think about how the media is going to deal with this if he wins.
Yeah.
First of all, they're going to say all Republicans they're going to be talking about Donald Trump and how he's tied into this forever. They're going to call for all sorts of show trials and try to make this into the biggest thing in the world. It's bad. You should not be assaulting. He was charged with misdemeanor assault because of this incident. And so it is bad. But they will make this your next 6 months
Look,
if this guy wins.
If you have loyalty no to question. The party. If you have loyalty to the party, this guy is expendable. This is not going to change the balance of power. This is not going to do anything but give the Republicans the black eye.
Already they're going to Paul Ryan. What do you think of this? What's your comment on Gianforte? Ask his campaign. I don't have anything to do. Yeah.
But what do you think of it? Are you okay with assaulting reporters?
I mean, there's no reason Paul Ryan should have to deal with that.
If he wins, it's a year and a half of that ahead of you.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
If he doesn't win, it's going to be a blip of history and be gone in a few weeks.
The left does a great job of telling all of their stories from two angles, harm and oppression, care or oppression. So, don't you care about the children and don't you care about a civil society? Yeah, I really do. I really do. And yet you put this oppressor in? This man who is oppressing, he's from Montana, so he's got to have sheep. He puts them in a pen and then he beats up reporters. They will tell this story 100 times a day. And they'll use him to make you and the GOP look bad. We don't need any more of this, especially since he won't affect anything. And what you get is a socialist in Montana. If you can't run again, if it's close with a socialist in Montana, you've got a pretty flawed candidate. And you have a glimpse into the future of what is coming. But it doesn't have to be this way. All we have to do is start connecting with, okay, I'm loyal to the party. What's the best thing for the party? The best thing for the party is to think about the future. And thinking about the future says, don't put a guy like that, who is a brawler, don't put him in charge. And don't put somebody in that is going to look like another oppressor, because you're going to lose that battle, because we don't fight with the right way. We are not in charge of the story. They are.
And to be clear, politics is an important lens to look at this through, but this is also just wrong. Like, you don't do this, an insane
Absolutely.
Action by someone who's completely, obviously not in control of himself.
I just want to make sure that everybody understands loyalty to the party means you don't put a bad guy in.
Yeah,
because
definitely true.
It's going to
hurt
the party. It will smear the party. We don't need that brush.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury. 888-727-BACK.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Okay, so let's go here and go back to Montana and this race with Gianforte, who is a Republican, who is running against a Marxist socialist, a Bernie Sanders fan. It is uncomfortably close in Montana. This is the only seat that is available in Montana. It is not going to change the balance of power by any stretch of the imagination. And I want to show you that, you know, what's best for the party is to stand up against a bully and a guy who can't control himself. And look, I've been around reporters. I have had years of being bullied and had to sit through horrible interviews and had horrible things said about me and my family and everything else. You don't lose your cool. You don't. If you can't do that, you're going to be a menace in Washington. And let me show you. This is the reporter from The Guardian who is speaking to CNN just a few minutes ago. Now listen to this.
Do you believe that what happened with you and Gianforte is reflective of a dynamic between politicians, specifically those on the right, and the media?
The interaction I had with that interaction was so unusual. I mean, I reported on Republicans, I reported on the presidential campaign. I've never encountered that. I've had very supportive emails, tweets, text messages from Republican politicians, Republican consultants, Republican operatives I've reported with that I wouldn't want to tar anybody or anything with this. This was one very unusual and surreal interaction, and you know that having reported on enough folks, this is the first time and hopefully the last time I'll ever get body slapped by a politician.
But I mean, again, he's allowing, right? Like, again, he could be trashing Republicans today, I'm sure, and many reporters would, but he's saying, look, this is not my experience with these people. This is not a trend. Everyone's trying to make this into a trend. Now, if you want the quote-unquote trend to continue of violence from Republicans, elect this guy, right? Because he's going to be in Washington, and every day they're going to be asking about this and making a big deal. You want something that's good for Donald Trump, is something that this guy goes away and we don't have to deal with this. You know,
otherwise, they're going to. He may never, ever meet anyone who has ever met Donald Trump, but they will tie him directly to Donald Trump. Donald Trump is the poison and what's his name? Gianforte drank that poison. He was attracted to that poison, and look at its spread. That's all they're going to say.
It's the same approach they used against the Tea Party. You know, every time there would be anyone who had a traffic ticket that had a, you know, had a flag on the back of their car, it meant it was the poison from people like Glenn Beck, who got these people all riled up, and now look what they're doing. It's going to be the same type of stuff constantly, and you know, it's a difficult thing because. You know, you want seats and you want votes, and it's understandable. But I mean, look, if a guy can't control himself 24 hours away from the time votes are cast, how on earth is he the right guy to be in Washington and represent you? How on earth is that possible? The other guy isn't either. I wouldn't vote for him either.
I have to go further than that. If a guy can't control himself, how is he the right guy? I mean, we all have explosions and everything else. You know, we all have those moments where we snap, but we don't snap into physical violence.
Yeah,
we don't do that.
Bizarre. And a lot of the people are, you know, you're hearing a lot of reports of people who are saying, well, this might help them with the Trump fans because this is what the Trump fans like. This is what they do. Mm-hmm. This is what they want.
Yeah.
And, you know,
that's exactly what they're going to say.
Right. They will say that if he wins today. Now, remember, this election is supposed to be a 20-point election, right? Instead, it's been polling around between 4 and 10 points where the Republican would win the seat. You know, the narrative was going to be played here that Trump was so unpopular that he had already hurt this you know, particular election. And he was going to, they were going to say, if it was close, I can't believe this. Look at this. I mean, Trump's obviously dragging on other Republicans.
I'd rather fight that than look it. And he hit a guy, and he won by 4 points.
Right.
The Trump people love that.
But you're going to have a great excuse here if he loses this election or it's close in that, like, hey, the guy body slammed and choked and punched a reporter the night before the election. This has nothing to do with Donald Trump.
We're not those people. Mm-hmm.
The other issue is
Donald Trump was not about violence. He was not about that thing. All those things you said we were attracted to, we're not attracted to that. That's not why he won.
And look, when it actually happened, we showed everybody that we don't follow those things and we don't want those things.
Yeah.
But, you know, and it's weird because I think most people would think, well, you want the seat, and if they can just get through the seat, there's a chance that, I mean, that they would, he would win the election and the Republicans wouldn't seat him. I don't even know exactly how that process works, but that could happen. And they
might. That's not something that's ever happened in our lifetime, is it?
It's going to be really ugly if it does happen. I think when you're under criminal, when you're convicted of a crime, or depending on how that works.
Misdemeanor.
Yeah, Jeffy's gotten so many misdemeanors.
Misdemeanor, right.
I mean, he basically
just want to remind you, high crimes and misdemeanors. It's a pretty wide spread.
Jaywalking or murder? One of the two. Either one, and you're out.
Back in a minute.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Welcome to it. Glad you are here. Tomorrow, let's try to make tomorrow a kind of a no politics day. It's going to be hard because Bill O'Reilly is going to be on with us tomorrow. You don't want to miss that. That'll be in hour number two on the program. The only place you can really hear Bill O'Reilly, except for his website at BillO'Reilly.com. I can't say that without saying it like he does. BillO'Reilly.com. That's BillO'Reilly.com. He'll be
keep it pithy.
He will be joining us tomorrow. We have an update on the bomber from Manchester. Not a good guy. I don't know if you not a good guy.
That's incredible.
Yeah. There's also another story that I really want to hit because today is the end of your your fat man challenge, isn't it?
Yeah, Jeffy decided, because we're going on vacation coming up, and mm-hmm. Jeffy decided he wanted to get really thin and svelte before the vacation started.
Man, did it work.
Well, we had 18 days. Hold on, let me set it up. You had 18 days in which you were going to go on a real diet and lose some weight. You were going to be hardcore. You were not going to screw up this time. You made
it
a big deal
good
about
saying
it.
Saying it, I'll tell you that.
And then
you were really doing it.
You really did have a good start.
I got off to a great start.
So can we
lost like start. 18 pounds?
At one point, he was down 21.
And then
I fell
apart this last weekend for 3 or 4 days, and it was. I figured, you know what?
How could you lose 21 pounds and then give up? I literally gave up on my diet after gaining 4 pounds, eating freaking Brussels sprouts and gaining 4 pounds.
The Brussels sprouts, though.
Yeah. Oh my gosh. I ate so torturous. How could you lose 21 pounds and then give up?
I'm down about 14 from where I started.
So you gained 7 back.
18. So
you're going in the wrong direction.
Now, losing 14 pounds in 18 days is no crime. I mean, that's pretty darn good.
However, it's better than gaining, but I'm kind of, since we're going on vacation, I'm thinking about maybe making an appointment, Dr. Now's place in Houston, so that when we come back from vacation, we just end up at my 600-pound life. Just start filming.
It would be an interesting idea to just simulcast the radio show with 600-pound life, because we can both get episodes at the same time. Kind of where we all are at this point.
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
I'm beginning my exercise.
Oh, no.
Yes.
Oh, no.
You're not happy when you exercise. It makes all of us miserable.
That's why I'm doing it on vacation. I've promised my wife, because my wife, she will, if I'm telling you, if she wakes up at 6 o'clock in the morning to exercise, I might have to get a Gianforte over. she is such a exercise-aholic.
Yes.
And I'm obviously not. In fact, yesterday I found a story. I was so excited. Listen to this headline. Weight gain with age, why it happens, and how to stop it.
Nice.
Huh?
Okay.
Now listen, as we get older, we tend to gain weight. I'm like, yes, yes.
Yeah, that's me.
And not just because we're less active, right?
Right. That's
right. Instead,
right.
We lose muscle mass as we age, which lowers the body's resting metabolic rate. This is according to a dietitian, Ohio State University, blah, 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 blah. Where the weight goes. Age doesn't just pack on the pounds. It changes where those pounds go. The culprit? Sex hormones. Right? Okay. As they decrease over time, men and women's weights tend to shift in predictable ways. For men, that means more belly fat as they lose testosterone. I'm thinking, yes, that's where it's happening. Well, in the face and the legs and the arms as well. But
so you've actually lost testosterone?
I know, it didn't seem possible, did it?
No, it did not.
Men's testosterone levels start to gradually decrease after the age 30. For women, the change is later but more sudden. Right before menopause, typically in a woman's 40s or early 50s, her estrogen levels begin to wane. Fat deposits tend to move towards the hip, thighs, and butt, though Blake pointed out that everyone is different. A researcher in Miami School of Medicine...
Disclaimer for everybody.
Huh?
The disclaimer for everybody drives me crazy. Of course, it's different for everyone.
Who studies nutrition and chronic illness told Fox News that during and after menopause, many women also see their weight shift towards the middle, turning into visceral fat. So how can you stop these weight shifts?
I cannot wait.
You take a pill. You just take a pill and it turns it off.
Right?
Right.
So the deal is weight gain with age, why it happens, and how to stop it.
Of course, there's only one way to stop it.
I'm expecting some news here. Good news.
Eat less and exercise.
Yep.
Good news. Weight shifts aren't inevitable. The biggest thing is to be consistent with healthy eating and exercise. I know that. I'm looking for a pill, a shot, something that doesn't involve healthy eating and exercise.
We'll do anything. We'll do. We'll eat any kind of McMuffin give us. We'll go for it.
I am perfectly willing to go on the all cocaine diet. I am perfect. I know that's not healthy for my heart. And other things,
Work before.
I was skinny when I was on cocaine. What's the problem? Why?
Do you remember? Were there any problems associated with the cocaine use? Do you remember?
Oh, some people claim, but here's the thing. I don't understand. Okay, seriously, what's happening? Your heart rate goes down, so you start to. Go exercise so your heart rate goes up. Good. Cocaine, caffeine, it does that. Why doesn't that work?
I mean, cocaine apparently does work as your test.
Right. Oh, yeah, but it causes heart attacks and other complications in your life.
And sure, some people think it's illegal. Sure.
Some people do believe that. Yes.
I'm willing to move to Bogota, Colombia if I have to.
It's actually very illegal there, too.
Is it really?
Yeah, it is.
Well, what is this World Cup, too?
Is there any Spain, place? Illegal. Russia.
You're illegal.
I don't think there's a place that's legal, is there?
No. Well,
oppression. The oppressors. The authoritarian oppressors. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. They always want control of the cocaine. So I would move to Bogota. Let's say it was legal and I didn't have experience that it destroys your life. If it was a pill and you could only get it in, you could only live in France, but you'd be thin, I'd consider it.
Oui.
I would live in France. Before I get on a treadmill.
It is really terrible. Exercise is...
Terrible. It's awful.
Is it a crime? Probably. I would say yes. I would say it's a criminal thing that has to be part of this equation.
God and I are going to have one serious talk when I see him. Yeah, he thinks I'm... He's going to call me to the bench. Yeah? Well, I got a few things to say to you, too. This whole exercise thing to remain healthy, I don't like it. Gyms, sweating, panting,
lifting.
Oh, but it makes you feel better. No, it doesn't. No. Well, yes, it does technically, but it's awful.
I don't think
what
it does.
What a waste
I think that's,
of time.
Yeah, and I don't think it actually does make you feel better. I mean, I guess...
It actually, to me it does, but it takes
months. Well, but you're at like negative... 1,000 steps a day somehow. Like, I've seen your step tracker. It actually registers negative. I don't know how that occurs.
All you have to raise your children right and watch a lot of movies about the Pharaoh, because they come and they just put sticks underneath your bed and move you to the other room.
You don't need to be in shape for that.
No.
Nice.
See, now we're getting into my 600-pound life.
That's right.
Where they just pick you up and...
Yeah, and they're exercising. They're exercising. It's good for the kids. They're lifting, they're moving, they're using their back. And I say, pick me up with your knees. Pick me up with your knees. Don't use your back.
So you're giving them good advice.
I was so pissed at that article yesterday because I was like, right? Okay, he's on it. There's something about the metabolism slowing down because of testosterone. Okay, so maybe if I get my testosterone level up to about 5,000, maybe that'll work, right?
Right.
No, the real secret? That's not a secret. It's not a secret.
That's ridiculous. And everybody knows it. And, it's really the only actual way, right?
Shut up.
Yes. No, you lose weight on NutriSystem or Jenny
Craig
or
the impossible dream.
But as soon as you go back to eating, you just gain it all back. So the only way is to change your lifestyle, eat right, and exercise.
Shut up.
Yep.
I believe in Silicon Valley.
It'd be nice.
Seriously, why can't they develop? We've put a man on the moon. Why can't we develop some sort of a pill that just makes fat
disappear.
Just you pee
overnight,
it out
in your sleep.
But I could just eat gristle all day long and I pee it out.
You know, that is something Penn and Teller have talked about that before. Well, Penn has. Teller didn't do much talking. but he talked about how, you know, how science essentially, because of the way our capitalist system works, will pursue two goals as hard as they possibly can until they solve them, which is two things that we all love and that have consequences. And they will work to make them consequence-free, which is eating and sex. And they will constantly develop new solutions to take away the quote-unquote consequences from both of those actions, the things that you might not want associated with that particular action.
I'd rather have 10 children than be fat.
You, of course, don't have to have the children, so that's an interesting sacrifice you're making.
No, you're saying making consequence-free.
Exactly. Like, so the idea is birth control, right? Like, that's part of that.
Right. I'm fine with 10 children.
Right. The other part of it is, look,
as long as I'm thin.
Look at where we've come as far as this goes. There are now sweeteners that are zero calories. There are salad dressings that are zero calories. There's butter that is zero calories. Now, all those things don't taste as good as the full calorie thing, right? I mean, that's the problem with it right now. But do you really doubt science that they're going to be able to solve that at some point? At some point, it might be 50 years from now, unfortunately, for us.
It will not be 50 years.
But these things come. There's an entire line of products.
I'm putting science on notice. I'm going on vacation for 2 weeks. When I come back, that damn thing better be done.
You're listening to the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Yeah, we are. Let's go to Kevin in New Hampshire. Hello, Kevin. You're on the Glenn Beck Program.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
First time. Been listening to you for a long time.
Thank you.
I have a little bit of a backstory. I worked at Montana State University in 2016, and when Greg had announced he was running for governor, and the Gestapo went absolutely out of their minds after the announcement because the crime Greg committed is that he's a Christian and had given to the Family Research Council.
Right.
And as opposed to gay marriage and other things, they absolutely destroyed the guy. They exploited all the students at Montana State, did letter writing campaigns, which is, of course, illegal because professors aren't supposed to do that with students. Mm. But they just have mercilessly attacked him now for almost 2 years. I followed it closely. This is a guy who has a Christian faith, tries to live his life, and has been absolutely brutalized by these people. So, you know, obviously you're right about the politics of it. But, you know, I think we should stand up for Christians that are actually living their faith.
Well, wait. Was he more persecuted, letter writing campaigns, people saying horrible things to him? That's my life for the last 12 years. That's Rush Limbaugh's life for the last 30 years. Rush hasn't hit anybody. I haven't hit anybody. How does that justify snapping and you know, body slamming and apparently, according to witnesses, grabbing a guy around his throat?
Yeah, of course it doesn't. But I'm glad you mentioned that because I have noticed in the many years I've listened to you that you really have backed off your truthful advocacy to go after these progressive warriors. you talked a lot about truth years ago. I remember sitting in the parking lot listening to you talking about truth. Fight for truth.
45 seconds.
But over the last several years, you've really worked your way towards kind of compromise and.
Wow, is that untrue? I mean, that is absolutely
that is
untrue.
Absolutely.
You're talking about Trump. It was the truth that we stuck to during that campaign.
Yeah,
If you didn't like the truth, I'm sorry, but it was still the truth.
Yeah, I'm sorry that you perceive that I backed off fighting for the truth. I am fighting for exactly the same thing. I will tell you, I have softened my language to try to be able to get those people on the edges that are tired of this kind of atmosphere too, where we're always just yelling at each other. I think we make progress that way.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. Thank you.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
The hunt for the Manchester bombing accomplices now extends to Libya. The bomber spoke to his, quote, nuclear scientist mother just before the attack. And the Montana House GOP candidate has witnesses. We have the audio of body slamming a reporter. The witnesses that are from Fox said, no, he didn't body slam. He actually grabbed him by the throat, threw him down, and started throwing punches. Now, that's not what the candidate in Montana says. Good news, bad news, whatever. The election is today. This happened last night. Also, top Russian officials discussed how to influence Trump aides last summer. Whew. Oh, and one last story. Politics is distracting American workers and maybe killing our productivity. Politics getting in the way of real life? Come on! We begin there right now.
Entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Let's go to the phones. I'd love to talk to you today on any topic that you want to talk about, something that we have missed, something that you think we have wrong, something you think we have right. I'd love to hear from you. The number is 888-727-BECK. We go to Curtis in Pennsylvania. Hello, Curtis. Welcome to the program.
Good morning.
How are you, sir?
Good morning, Glenn. It's great to talk to you. And
thank you.
And Stu and Pat and Jeffy also.
Thank you.
The thing with the reporter, I'm kind of torn. I mean, I listen to you guys a lot, and but I'm just a rube. You know what I mean? Yeah. I'm seeing all these bully tactics being used by the left for the last how many years now?
Mm-hmm.
And every talk show in the country has had discussions on bullying. And there's only one way to beat the bully. And that's to punch him in the face. I mean,
not literally,
figuratively, but then, you know, every once in a while, you got to strike a blow. You can't allow these people to, you know, they walk into the local town halls and they shout people down. You know, in Philadelphia, we have Black Lives Matter people. They protest in the street, physically surround cars, hold people hostage.
Mm-hmm.
It's out of hand.
But well, Curtis,
every once in a while.
Okay, so let's just take Black Lives Matter and they're shutting things down. When I first moved to New York and started visiting New York, even back in the 1980s, I remember it was terrifying when I think it was Dinkins was the mayor before Rudy Giuliani. It was really bad because they had these windshield washer people who were scary as hell.
Squeegee people, yeah.
Yeah, they would come and they'd spray water on your window, and then they would just squeegee, and then they would pound on your window.
And they want money.
And want your money. And it mm-hmm. was dangerous and bad. Okay, well, these people are harassing. They're starting to stop people, yada, yada, yada. What do you do? You got to do something. You got to fight fire with fire. No, Giuliani. Giuliani came in and cleaned it up. It's illegal. You're not doing that. We're going to enforce it. I mean, there are laws, and then there's also the basic laws of morality. You know, if you want to take on the press and with righteous indignation, you can take on the press. But we use truth, we search for justice, and we don't throw blows.
The other thing is, you know, talking about the press being bullies, the guy from Guardian US asked him a very calm, very simple question about the CBO score for the new healthcare bill. It was not incendiary. It was not confrontational.
In fact,
he wasn't screaming at him.
In fact, Gianforte actually brought that on himself.
Yeah, that was the standard that Gianforte himself set. He said he would not answer any questions about the health care bill until the CBO score came out. Well, it happened to come out a day before the election. So he was, it is completely legitimate to ask him that question.
Right. And especially it's one day before the election. And you can't dodge that. You said you would decide when it came out. You were clearly playing a political calculation game, hoping that it wouldn't come out because you're going to vote for it. And it has 30% approval rating.
Mm-hmm. It's not a popular bill. Right. So it was a political calculation. But he should be asked about it. And again, I think there's something here, too. There's a principle that conservatives generally abide by, which is the belief in individuals, right? Like, you are responsible for your own crimes. The Tea Party should not be held responsible for one person's crimes who's in the Tea Party, right? We've said that. How many times have we said that? Should that apply to reporters, too? I mean, if this guy came in and was did something horrific to this candidate, he still wouldn't justify body slamming him, but you might be able to make the argument. This guy is asking a completely calm, balanced question, and we're holding, because we don't like what other reporters have said about other candidates, we're giving this guy a pass for body slamming him?
Well, and the last
guy...
That
makes no sense.
At the end of last hour, who invoked Christianity over it, I'm pretty sure Christ wouldn't have grabbed the guy by the throat
no.
and slammed him to the floor. So
there's actually reports things happened than CBO questions to Jesus.
There's reports on that,
I don't know. Sketchy.
I don't know.
The problem with all of this is that we respect authority and we respect the line of authority. And you know, when the press comes and they break the line of authority and they're jumping out of the bushes at you and they're setting you up, it really goes against everything in a conservative that respects authority, and it pushes us into the loyalty category. You're going after somebody who has a different point of view than yours, and you've been harassing him the whole time, and it pushes us into loyalty. And that's natural. It's natural. And you can't, you know, the press wants to have it both ways. They want to say, look what Donald Trump has created. He's created hostility against the press. And now everybody's going to go and they're going to start beating up the press. This guy gets in. It's him and Donald Trump, a stormtrooper. That's exactly what the narrative is going to be. But the press won't take any responsibility themselves for being jerks, for actually doing many of the things that Donald Trump is saying that they do.
And sometimes they are. However, again, people should be treated as individuals, yes, not responsible for their whole profession.
Right.
The other part about this is, if you want Greg Gianforte to be the Republican national spokesperson for the next 8 months of Donald Trump's presidency, then I hope he wins, because the press will make sure that issue is a gigantic issue for every moment they can. They will extend it and extend it and it will be another controversy you have to deal with.
Here's the problem. If you live in Montana, because of early voting, he's probably 20 points ahead in early voting.
He's probably going to win. I mean, I would assume because of early voting.
So he might very well win tonight, and probably will. But even if everybody turned out today and they're like, I don't like the Bernie Sanders guy. That's everything against, but I'm not going to vote for him, but I'm not going to turn out because I can't condone that behavior. He's still probably going to win. And the press is going to use this to target Donald Trump. That's all you're going to hear. I guarantee you, when he wins, all they're going to say is, see, it's a trend. Look at the Republicans, those Donald Trump supporters. They want violence. We're all going to be painted with the same brush. This is a seat that doesn't matter to the GOP. It's one seat in the House. It doesn't matter. We have to look at things strategically as well as ethically. You might
line up here.
What?
They nicely line up here.
Yes, they line up easily here. It's ethically and morally wrong. It shows weakness in somebody. I mean, you don't believe me. I have wanted to throw punches at people, especially the press. I mean, you were with me with Katie Couric.
I was not. But,
oh, you weren't?
No. But I,
oh my gosh.
I do remember that era. It was.
Yeah. I mean, I was doing. Let me tell you this story. I don't think I've ever told this story. Katie Couric, her agent, was my agent. And Katie Couric's, or her publicist, was my publicist. She had just started with, I think, Yahoo, or where did she go before Yahoo?
No, she was not at Yahoo then.
Yeah, no, she was with the...
I think she was at CBS, right?
She went with CBS
News. Mm-hmm.
And she was really struggling, and she really needed, you know... Yeah,
her ratings were bad.
Her ratings were bad.
She needed a big get right. interview.
And so her publicist came to me, who I trusted, and said, Katie has said she's not going to hit you below the belt. She's not going to ask those questions that we've been asked and answered. And I said, yes, she is. It's Katie Couric. Yes, she is. No, Glenn, she owes me a big favor, and she knows that you will be doing her a big favor. She's not going to do it. All the way there and for weeks before, she's going to, this is suicide. What am I doing? She knows you're doing her a favor. I've made it clear. She said it. She's not going to, halfway through, sandbag. Now, if you don't think, I wanted to say to her, and I should have, Katie, by coming on your stupid show, I knew I was going to gain nothing. But I did you a favor because you promised a mutual friend that you would accept this favor in that spirit. You don't think I wanted to throw blows?
Well, don't think I was... No, you did not. To be clear, you did not want to throw blows with Katie Couric.
What I'm saying is...
But I know what you mean. There's emotions where you get hit reporters.
When you get emotionally... But you control yourself. You control yourself. You could easily be like, oh, you know what? I could have tipped over the table right. and walked out. I sat there. And I thought, all I thought to myself was, how dare you? What a despicable human being. How dare you? I'm doing you a favor. But I didn't tip over the table.
No.
I didn't curse her out. I took off my microphone at the end and said, I can't believe you've done that.
I mean, we certainly never gave a break to Alec Baldwin for doing these things.
Nope.
Right?
And we shouldn't.
We shouldn't.
All right. Our sponsor this half hour. And by the way, look at, we've never given this to paparazzi. Paparazzi, celebrities go through this all the time with mm-hmm. paparazzi. Yeah. And the paparazzi are dangerous. They are truly dangerous.
And 1,000 times worse than what we heard from this reporter. Oh, yeah. The Guardian,
they're right? dangerous. And you don't give the paparazzi the pass on it.
This is... The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Let's take a look at Bitcoin. There's something amazing that happened yesterday. Where is Bitcoin today?
2785, which is interesting in that because I would say most people look at this and no one cares. No one has Bitcoins for the most part. A lot of people don't. If you're in the audience, but you might know that a week ago we were all sitting here going, can you believe this? This thing doubled.
Mm-hmm.
It was 2,200 then. So it's up another almost
30%. Almost, too. Yeah.
Almost 30%.
If I would have gotten in, since we talked about it doubling, when I said I should have gotten in at 1,100, it's already gone up 500.
Yeah.
And I still haven't gotten in.
It is for the year.
Jeez. Up
$2,013 for the year.
Wow.
So it's gone. It was at what? Then what?
Okay,
700?
So when was it that I got in at 1,100, which was what? 3-4 months ago?
Two months ago? I mean, I don't even think it was that long.
Yeah. So I put $1,100 in. Then we just brought up
April.
2 weeks ago. you said you've doubled your money.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Last night, I read a story that comes out of Australia, and this is beginning, especially on the other side of the planet. The reason why this is going through such growth, and it's going to have another spurt now, Australia yesterday or the day before said they were double taxing Bitcoin. They wanted to stop cryptocurrency. And remember, they're going to digital currency. Remember, you go to Citibank in Australia, and many of Citibank's don't have any cash. So they're going to all digital currency. It's in the cards. And a couple of days ago, Australia said, we're going to reverse the double tax of Bitcoin, which was killing it. And we're removing all the taxes, and we're going to treat it exactly like money. So actually, we're going to treat it exactly like currency. So they're accepting it now as currency, officially, the government. Now, that's what China started to do. And so these countries, one by one, are starting to say, you know what? We're going in another direction anyway. We're going to digital cash. This, you know, blockchain is the future. Bitcoin will start taking it and treating it exactly like cash. And so this has the potential of being a massive crash, because maybe some countries decide, you know, we're going to use the blockchain technology ourselves, and then there's going to be U.S. currency and one global currency, and we're going to shut Bitcoin down. You could lose everything.
Mm-hmm.
But there's also a chance that an investment today in Bitcoin is game-changing for you. Could make you millions, literally millions of dollars for a very small investment. I mean, look at what's happened since April. $1,100, and it's at what now?
$2,700.
That's crazy.
Especially when your bank account, if you're lucky, is getting you 0.9%.
Right.
Again, I would not advocate this as a sound investment by any means. It's crazy.
It is crazy.
And it could go to zero tomorrow.
I recommend this to my friends and my family as, do not put money. Think of this as going to Vegas or on a weekend or a vacation.
Totally.
You know, something that you were going to blow anyway, and you don't mind losing all of it. Do not put money in here that you're like, that'll hurt me. Don't do that, because you could literally lose all. This could go to zero.
Mm-hmm.
Like, gold will never go to zero. This could go to zero.
Mm-hmm.
But it also has a chance of being the biggest payoff ever. So take, you know, I have $500 that I really wanted to, you know, blow, but I'm not going to buy that TV. I'm going to wait on that TV. Put it in that. Put it in Bitcoin. I mean, when something has gone up 27% that I invested in April,
right,
and then said I've doubled my money, and it's gone up almost 30% since then.
Pretty amazing.
That's crazy.
It's insane.
And it's all happening because parts of the world are now starting to open up and saying, yeah, go ahead. You can buy Bitcoin. You can use Bitcoin. The more countries that do that, the higher it's going to go.
The Glenn Beck Program. Mercury. The Glenn Beck Program.
Let's go back to Tesla and Bitcoin here for a second. What Bitcoin is it's driven by something called blockchain. And blockchain is truly remarkable. It is the security of the future. And they say that it's unbreakable. And the reason why they say it's unbreakable is, as I understand it, and please forgive me for those people who are experts of blockchain, because it's complex and I barely understand it. So excuse this elementary explanation that is probably only about 50% right.
But good luck with getting to 50% on this.
I mean, do you understand it?
Not to get to 50%, no.
Yeah. So my first number was 30, but I thought maybe it's better than that. But so the way what blockchain is it takes information and it breaks it up into blocks, and it's stored in several different places. And only when you call for the information, that's when it calls at each of these locations and it puts it back together. Right?
Don't look at me.
Well, I mean, is that about 30%?
Yeah, kind of. Yeah.
What do you have on 30% that's different?
I'm not going here. I'm going to sound too stupid.
So, yeah. So
you've crossed the line here. When people ask me these questions, I say, you know what? That part of it's just too complicated. Let's not talk about it. Let's talk about you go in, you log in, and it gives you a price.
Yeah. So what it is it's a way just to encrypt information. And encrypt it and split it up and put it on top of other information that is only fragments. And so you take a block and you open it up and none of it makes sense because it's only pieces of information from a billion different places. So you can't piece it together unless you have the code that calls all of these blocks in and assembles the one block. Okay. As I understand it. So the important thing to know is it is a way to store things in a vault, if you will, that is impossible to break into. It's impossible to put all these pieces together at this point. That is the secret of Bitcoin. That is the first part of it. The second part is a computer program that was started by a guy from Japan. Where was he from? Do you know, Stu?
They don't know for sure who it was. There's a guy, I think he was from Japan, who was rumored to be the guy who started it. But like he denies it. It's a big internet controversy.
Okay, so somebody put together a system that... puts out these bitcoins, and it puts them out at a certain pace for the next, I don't even know what it is, 20 years. And it mints, if you will, this digital currency, and it just pushes it out into the internet. And there are miners that go out and they search in rooms full of computers that are just looking for the... You know, they're running all kinds of analytics to be able to find the algorithm that is the Bitcoin. And they reach out, and when they find it, they grab that Bitcoin, and then they have it, they store it, or they sell it. And so there's these miners, just like gold. And they go out and they find them, and there's only a limited number. And it will never, once the 20 years is up, just like gold should be, there's no more. So you can print no more. So the price of one Bitcoin, because it's a limited number and a known limited quantity, the price of Bitcoin, when you hit the top and there is no more to mine, that one Bitcoin just keeps growing in value, and you buy fractions of a Bitcoin. And so that's what you use as currency. And it's all digital, so there's nothing you can hold. And they have these safes. The people that I use is it Xapo? X-A-P-O, I think. And they built their safe in Switzerland. And it is a sub-zero supercomputer that is deep in the ground. And... you keep all your bitcoins there. And when you call for them, it goes down, grabs the number of bitcoins, brings them up, blockchain pushes them out, and you can use them anywhere you want. That's the way it works. Now, to me, this investment, if you will, is risky. And some people say, It's the tulip panic. And if you don't know what the tulip panic is, that's from 16 something or other, where the people in Holland based their currency not on gold, but on tulips, because there was some run on tulips, and they were the only ones that had tulip bulbs. And so the world was dying for tulips. We've got to have tulips. And so the price of tulip bulbs went through the roof. Finite number of tulip bulbs in Holland. And so people started to say, oh my gosh, this tulip bulb craze, it's never going to end. There's no end, because we can't. We're the only ones that make them. And the world wants the tulip bulbs. And my gosh, they were trading their houses for one tulip bulb. I don't think I need to tell you this, but I will tell you, it didn't end well. Okay? Yeah, the tulip bulb craze didn't end well. And some people say this is Bitcoin. But I think there's a couple things driving this. I think that there are those people who are putting some money into this as a hedge against total chaos, and saying, you know what, if total chaos breaks out, I maybe this is there, and I'll be able to be anywhere in the world, and I'm not going to have to cross borders with cash, and I can get out of my crazy country that's melting down, and you know, in Greece, and I'll have this currency that will be good anywhere in the world. That's the extreme of it. I think the other is, this is a new technology. This is, the world is going to change, and everyone who knows that cashless society is where we're headed. Now, what is the technology? Will it be a private company? I have a hard time believing that all of a sudden the world's central banks are going to say, oh, you know what, let's have them do that.
Because that's the appealing thing, I think, to a lot of people in the audience who deal with inflation and government,
right?
All this, you know, all the crazy stuff with the Fed and everything else. Bitcoin solves that.
Right. Because it's one thing. It's permanent. There's no way to change it.
You can't print more.
Can't print more. You can't manipulate it. It is what it is. And that's the beauty of it. And because that cuts out power for so many governments, I have a hard time believing it's what they're going to do. But until that time, what's going to happen is Greece goes under. And instead of going to the drachma, they go to Bitcoin. Once a country says, that's our currency, and I don't know if that's going to happen. Greece is probably the best example of that happening, is just saying, we're going to shut down our printing presses and everything else. We're going to base all of our currency on Bitcoin and go to a cashless society, and they'll do all the work. And that way you can trust that our dollar is going to be stable. Everything's going to be fine. Now, there is another story besides tulips. That this is not a comparison to the tulip panic. This is a better comparison to something that happened here in America in, I think it was 1913. And I think it has every bit of this story repeating itself now in Bitcoin. And I'll give that to you here in a second.
Glenn Beck Program. 888-727-BACK.
Mercury.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Sign up for the newsletter and get all the info you need to know at glennbeck.com.
So, I've been invited to go to Wardenclyffe this summer, which is on Long Island, and they are trying to raise money to rebuild Tesla's dream of Wardenclyffe. I want you to listen to what happened at Wardenclyffe and tie it directly to Bitcoin. Tesla was trying to, he raised a bunch of money, mainly from J.P. Morgan, and he raised a buttload of money to develop radio, to develop some form of communication through the air. And J.P. Morgan was really interested in that. Well, Tesla, he goes to Denver because he believes there is more to the air than just communication. And so he's working on communication, but at the same time, he's working on his Tesla tower, which draws energy out of the sky. And so it pulls the energy from the atmosphere and then broadcasts it through the earth. So there's pictures of him putting light bulbs in the dirt at night, and they're all lighting up. Okay, it short-circuited, freaked the people out in the Denver area. I think it was in Boulder. Freaked the people out because all kinds of things were blowing, and he was causing some havoc.
Maybe not quite ready yet.
It wasn't quite ready yet, but it was truly remarkable. So he goes back and he says, "I'm really close," and gets the money, and he says, "I want to build Wardenclyffe." So he starts to build Wardenclyffe, and as he gets it, and he buys all this equipment from Westinghouse and everything else, he puts all of it in there, and as he's finishing up, Marconi says, "I have radio, and you can communicate boop, 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 through the air." Well, J.P. Morgan Chase says, "I'm pulling all my funding as they just invented radio." And he's like, no. There's more than you can do with radio than just boop, 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 boop. We can improve that. And the spectrum of using the wireless, as they called radio, everything can be wireless. Electricity can be wireless. And J.P. Morgan says, "Wait a minute, what? Really? You can do this without wiring houses?" "Yes." "Well, wait a minute. How do I make money? Because how are you going to meter it?" "You don't meter it. It's free. It's come from the sky." Oh, no. "I think you misunderstand. I'm not investing in things that are free. How do I make my money back?" Pulled the investment. Westinghouse recalled all of the equipment, and Tesla was done with that. He was just 100 years ahead of his time. Bitcoin could be that with the central banks. We've got it, but we're cutting you out of power, and it falls apart.
Beck program.
Mercury.
The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Hello, America. There is another Planned Parenthood tape. This is worse than what we have heard before. I'm sorry to say, we all need to hear it. We can't bury our head in one of the most important subjects of our day. This is going to be the thing that 100 years from now, people will look back and say, these grotesque monsters, how did they not stop this? Just like people say now about slavery. Not the people who owned slaves, but the people who were standing around and did nothing about it. Well, they tried. There were people that tried. There were a lot of people that didn't want to look at the problem. But in the end, we fixed it. And in the end, this will be fixed. This will be accomplished. We will stop murdering children in the name of convenience. But right now we have to just take a look at the latest tape in the Planned Parenthood scandal. We begin there right now.
I will make a stand. I will raise my voice. I will hold your hand. 'Cause we are one. I will be my child. I have made my choice. We will
entertainment and enlightenment. This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Hello, America. Pat, you want to set this up for us?
Yeah, they did more undercover video that has just been released. This was Planned Parenthood at the National Abortion Federation. Apparently, they host, the NAF hosts some kind of secretive annual meeting, trade show, every April. And so what we're about to hear is from this year's, when they went in and started talking and listening to these medical directors, the Planned Parenthood people, some of the abortion activists, and it's pretty chilling what they had to say.
Our stories don't really have a place in a lot of pro-choice discourse and rhetoric, right? The heads that get stuck that we can't get out.
So she said that the heads that get stuck that we can't get out.
The hemorrhages
that we manage.
You know, those are all parts of our experience.
There's no real good place to go and talk about this kind of stuff. So apparently she's inviting that, you know, really wonderful discussion here. So let's talk about all the heads that get stuck and all the arms and legs we pull off.
But there's no real good place for us to share those.
The fetus is a tough little object and taking it apart.
Wow.
So she's saying the fetus is a tough little object. And, you know, taking it apart, I mean, taking it apart on day one is very difficult.
It's very difficult. But
oh, my God, I get it. When the skull is broken, that's really sharp.
You heard what she said? Oh, my God, I get it. When the skull is broken, it's really sharp. She apparently cut her hand on a baby's skull.
I don't understand why people are talking about getting that skull out at Hail Mary with no
Sometimes he'll tell me she wants brain and we'll, you know, leave the calvarium until last and try to basically take it or actually, you know.
So now they're talking about taking the brain out and keeping it. And obviously then they're able to sell it. You separate it from the rest of a tissue. Then another woman talks about an eyeball just fell down into my lap when she was commuting, performing an abortion. And that was really gross.
Gosh.
I mean,
why would I
gross?
Say, can why? I, can I,
right.
Yeah. Why
it's
would
just
I gross?
Tissue, right?
Curious. Why would that why be? Would you think it was gross?
Can I make a bold statement here? Stu doesn't want me to.
No, I like you to be bold. I just, when you give the disclaimer leading up to it, I know you're trying something that's untested material.
Well, it's not material. It's
I am saying it in that way because it's you're saying something that you just thought of that let you have probably think, not thought through all the way. That's why I'm.
May I think out loud for a minute? And that's a rhetorical question.
It always is.
Our problem is not the wicked. It's really not the wicked. It's not the people who are performing the abortions. It's not. There will always be, and there has always been, those people that will do those things.
It's about all the people that don't care, right?
Yes. It's about the apathy of the average person. Mm-hmm. If I could stop all the wicked but not affect the apathetic, more people will rise up. If I could awaken the apathetic, it would stop the wicked. But we concentrate on the wicked, and that's not the problem. It's really not the problem.
Are you saying that you don't think we should play audio like this?
No.
Of the wicked?
No. We have to because this will not be seen on mainstream media. Mm-hmm. This is not going to be seen except in conservative circles. But to perhaps we need to, instead of and I don't mind this, and honestly, the Catholics have done such an amazing job. I mean, I've talked to leaders of my church, and they have said over and over again, thank God for the Catholics, because the Catholics have led the way on this for a long time. And so I praise them. I'm grateful for them. I'm grateful for the people who go down and take a stand and, you know, are outside of these clinics saying good things to the girls, offering help. You know, I don't think it helps to have the, you know, pictures of the cut up bodies because it's just so horrific. You just don't want to even look at it. But I appreciate that. It has to be done. We have to take a stand there, and we have to call up Planned Parenthood. But if we would spend more time trying to wake our friends and neighbors who are just asleep, how do we nudge them? How do we just kind of gently? Nobody wants you to jump in. There's nothing worse than when my kids, you know, come into my bedroom in the middle of the night or in the morning and they jump on my bed. Dad! Okay, stop. I was dead asleep. I really appreciate it when my kids come up and they just kind of put their hand on me and then just kind of slowly just kind of, you know, shake me awake a little bit gently. We can wake up a little more naturally. How do we do that to our friends? How do we plant the seeds and take them from point A to point Z, but going through B, C, D, E, F, G? The signs are at Z. And the signs are for the people who are going in. What we need to do is concentrate and target those friends who can be awakened. And I really think we need a very small percentage of people. And when we have, I really think it's this audience. I always have. But if we can focus and we can start speaking a universal language, not the language of the right, a universal language where the left and the common sense left, not the Nancy Pelosi's of the world, not the people who are driven by politics, but those people who are just as sick of this chaos as we are, just as sick of arguing all the time and bickering, and you know that they just want common sense. We are going to disagree on some policies, but when they truly understand what Planned Parenthood, that, who in your circle of friends do you know, especially women, that will hear that, who is maybe perhaps gently on the other side, that you can sit down and say, Madge, like in the old Folgers commercials, Madge, can I talk to you about something? Sure, honey. I'm soaking in it? Yes.
You're soaking in Folgers?
I think it was Folgers.
Palmolive.
No, they used to soak in the Folgers. Palmolive was a whole different other thing.
I don't think so. I
have a pretty good memory on these things. But anyway, be able to take Madge and move her in that direction, and in a month or so, be able to show her that.
And you know what you're talking about as a situation of like walking people down the road and trying to do this in a way that's not so
confrontational
or whatever. I mean, I think you could make a legitimate argument after listening to that video that we should never talk about another topic. It's actually serious.
I believe this to be the stain on this generation.
Absolutely.
This is going to be the slavery of our generation. This is going to be things that people will look back and say, there were monsters.
If we did this show only, you know, because it's a show, right? If we did it not to, because we wanted to entertain and everything else that's a mission of a show, if it was just a mission,
it would be this.
It would be literally only this. It's the only thing. If you stop just this in our lifetime, everything else doesn't matter.
Yep.
Well, yeah. I mean, you've got one of these abortionists saying that when she's doing a procedure and she starts to fear that it's about to be a partial birth abortion, she'll get a second set of forceps, stop the body of the baby at the cervix of the mother, and pull legs off.
Oh,
a leg or two.
Gosh.
So that it's not a partial birth abortion.
Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that is absolutely horrific. That is horrifying. That
if
is
we put
Nazi-like.
If we put that in a horror movie, it would be totally acceptable as a horror movie. Mm-hmm. People would say, what a monster. You put scary music behind that, and people would say, that's the scariest person I've ever met.
Yeah.
But because we call them a nurse and we call this murder a procedure, a medical procedure,
so
we accept it.
This is the Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
This is
the Glenn Beck Program.
Dad, why did you just...
Well, I've seen better-looking paws in the zoo.
Oh, Madge, dishwashing.
Well, now that is not any excuse when you've got palm olive dishwashing liquid.
Pretty green.
Softens your hands while you do the dishes.
Pretty green.
You're soaking in it.
Dishwashing liquid.
Mm-hmm.
Must be mild.
Oh, more than just
mild.
In your sink. The suds last a lifetime. Mm. Besides softening hands.
Madge, mm-hmm. You and palm olive liquid are a marvelous twosome.
Mm. Well, we both have great shape.
Oh, man. Don't tell your husband.
Tell
your husband. Yeah. For some reason, you're not supposed to tell your husband, but don't tell your husband.
Well,
it's an ancient Chinese secret, right, Madge?
It was a weird era of the world.
Yeah.
Every once in a while, we do a segment on the Pat and Stu program, which happens to air on this network. Where we go over these old-timey sexist ads from like the 50s and the 40s and the 60s.
Oh, I love that.
You don't get those
days
back.
It's incredible.
Pretty stunning.
The stuff that people
said.
It is
really
stunning. I can't believe we were ever in a situation
well,
where you could
think
play
of this.
Things.
Think of this. Ring around the collar. How'd you get the ring around a collar? Oh, ancient Chinese secret.
Yeah.
And remember how racist
right.
that was? And then the woman comes out, the wife comes out.
Here's your ancient,
ancient Chinese secret. It's whisk. Ancient Chinese secret, huh? You watch that now and you're like, oh my gosh.
I know. I can't believe he was lying to us.
Right.
There was no right. Chinese
That's
secret.
The way right. Those people are, Jeffy.
That's what I think you're supposed to take from that. Asian
I think,
people
actually,
will lie
I
to
think
you.
It is. It is kind of what you get from
yeah.
it, isn't it.
Chinese people are scamming you.
Right.
That was what we were supposed to. And now it's become a whole presidential campaign based on it. So it's worked out pretty well.
Ancient Chinese secret, huh?
That would have been funny for him to say.
meeting with the president of China and just say that he wouldn't understand that he didn't have that commercial
probably not
once they figured it out they probably would have nuked us but it would have been funny for a while
until you felt that heat that first blast
nuclear radiation I'm soaking in it. Wow, it's softening my skin to the point of where I'm a bubble on the sidewalk.
I just thought it was such a weird sell that like China had these secrets in like the second century. And they had solved all the problems that were gonna come up today, but no one's noticed it until you saw this pop-up ad. Literally, the entire medical establishment has just been like, we're not going to put that in a handy-dandy pill and make trillions off of it. We're just going to wait for some shady company you've never heard of to advertise on a pop-up window. Like, it just does not work, does it?
Well, I happen to believe in Eastern medicine to a point. I think there is
something to it. To some of it. You know?
I think it's the combination. Mm-hmm. The problem is the East disregards. They're like, no, you need chicken lips.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't think.
It's all chicken lips over there. We take ground chicken lips and put them in this capsule. Mm-hmm. No, I don't think that's.
Did the Chinese people become Russians suddenly?
Oh, yes, because I can do that and not get in trouble. Yes. So, they dismiss Western medicine, mm-hmm. and we dismiss Eastern medicine.
I don't actually think the Chinese do dismiss Western medicine. They have quite a few medical doctors over there, and some of them graduated from American medical schools.
And of course, the other
so they don't dismiss it as much as we do,
right?
But they are also throwing in some chicken lips.
I mean,
maybe not in the hospitals, but you know, out in the.
But there's a lot of people who do acupuncture. That's an Eastern thing.
You go to doctors or doctors here saying, oh, yeah, you should have some acupuncture. No, they're saying you should have some pills.
Yeah, or shots, whatever. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I
the MDs are, but the DOs are not, right?
I got to say, when ancient Chinese medicine existed, our life expectancy lasted around 25 years for about a couple centuries. And now it's almost 100. So I think the Western medicine is the superior of the two medicines. Now, that's not to say that there's nothing of Eastern
right,
medicine
but
of value.
We have taken Western medicine in some way, in pharmaceuticals, in some ways, way too far. When we are saying...
In some ways is definitely a fair statement.
Yeah, in some ways. When we are saying... We used to say, boys will be boys. Now we're saying, that kid needs to be on Ritalin. No. Right. Boys will be boys. That's the way they are.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
You're holding somebody up at gunpoint. I'm sorry, we are having an argument about O.J. Simpson.
O.J. could be released from prison in July.
It's about time.
He's up for parole. I mean, yes.
It How is long about has he? It's been time. 5 years?
5 years? It's been...
it's been longer than that.
9 years. It's been 9 years. He was
for this sad little
sentenced
offense
to 33 years.
Let's put this in
for his sad little offense in Vegas.
For getting some of his paraphernalia
trying to get
back.
His stuff back.
That is not memorabilia.
That's
not what it was.
It's not like
what it was he was punished for being found innocent of a double murder.
Thank you. And people were mad that he was found innocent for that.
Yes.
No.
That's what it was.
No.
It's exactly what happened.
That's
exactly what happened.
That was they didn't get you, but we're going to. That's what that was.
Look, I do believe that a lot of people think about that and figured in. And maybe without the double murder, he may have received less of a sentence. So I can understand that.
Like, however,
held people at gunpoint.
You've got the guy.
This is what he was hurt.
Oh my God.
No, he was hurt.
Wait a minute.
He was after his own stuff.
Shut the pie hole.
No harm, no foul.
Are you? Shut the pie hole. You just lectured us what's his name? Gianforte.
Yeah, what about it?
Okay.
I think you were part of that lecture, by the way.
One of us is being consistent.
Me.
Here's a guy that assaulted a reporter and the witnesses, the Fox witnesses, say grabbed him by the throat and then punched him.
Right. O.J. didn't even do that.
No, he didn't need to. He had a gun. He had a gun.
Which he didn't use.
No harm, no foul. No, he didn't use it.
And we should also. Okay, so.
Seriously, though, think about this.
If it was a
memorabilia thing, even a holdup at gunpoint, and he. That was his first offense, and nobody knew
right.
him. He would have gotten 6 months in jail, period.
I do think, actually, you're
six
right
months.
On that. We have to
this
put,
is nine freaking years.
O.J.
And I'm sorry,
here's
that's not
the
how
thing.
Our justice system
yes.
works.
Yes.
It's not how
and
it
here,
works.
Yes, here's why. Everybody knows he killed his wife.
Well, that's not exactly
that's
true,
not exactly
but
true,
many
but
people
ahead.
Think he killed his wife. And Ron
Even
Goldman.
Some of the okay. jurors right. In the trial now yes. think he was guilty.
Okay, so, yes. mm-hmm. so let me rephrase this. Everybody but O.J. and people sucking up to O.J. know he killed his wife.
What?
So you have a guy who is dangerous. He wasn't punished for the first thing, and you can't punish him for that. But I certainly can take into consideration this man is dangerous. And now, to get his stupid footballs back, he's going to, and he's never paid any of the money that he was supposed to pay.
His livelihood was
he
cut off.
He escaped and he got away with it scot-free.
Wait, what was cut off, Jeffy?
His livelihood.
There was something
was
cut off, as I remember. Yes, yeah. It wasn't his livelihood. Yeah. He actually got to keep his pension, by the way.
What was cut off was his wife's head.
Thank you.
So,
and by the way,
so here's a guy who now hasn't paid for his crime, that thinks he can get away with anything, breaks in to get his football memorabilia back.
Yeah, but I'm talking about the justice system. I'm not talking about the feelings of it. I'm talking about the actual
legal. And I'm saying that if I'm the judge, I take into consideration that man's a dangerous man.
You're not supposed to.
You can't. All you can take into consideration is
the crime
he did and the crime that he's being tried for right now. You can't take into consideration his past that he was found innocent for.
That only limits it to the possibility of a sentence. There's a range of sentences, right?
Yeah.
And so he got the high end of the range. However, it's still in the range. So you can't just triple his
penalty. No, but we all know what happened.
But let's also take into account,
it would have been 6 months.
It's not just his wife's murder. It's also beating the crap out of her multiple times before that. So he's on record having all sorts of problems with domestic violence before that.
But you can't take that into consideration in this trial either.
You have to be able to take his court records. I agree with you. The judge can't take things that he was acquitted of or deemed innocent. But Stu is absolutely right on because
why is there a range? What's the purpose of a range of punishment? It's because there is a decision-making process by the judge to apply a punishment to a particular crime.
To his understanding of how dangerous this person is. I mean, and I can't believe you're saying that, you know, hey, I was just going in, you know, have you seen the movie with the three old guys, Morgan Freeman and the other two.
Las Vegas?
What?
Las Vegas?
No.
No, it's a newer one.
A newer one where they go and they rob the banks. Okay.
Oh, yeah. That's Las Vegas 2 is essentially what you're talking about. It's the exact same movie.
It is what's called something else. I know it.
Thank you, Jeffy.
I was on your side.
You are of no help.
You're turning on me now?
Hey, Stu, did you hear about the guy who was fired on Friday?
I did not, no. I'm assuming I'm going to, though.
Yeah, you will tomorrow. Anyway, the point is you can't tell me that if somebody went into a bank with a gun and said, I want my money and the money you owe me, by gunpoint. No, you pull out a gun.
Yeah, but that's not what he did.
Thank you. That's not what he did.
He pulled out a gun.
It wasn't a bank robbery.
Oh, dear God. The point
is... after his own stuff.
The point
stuff.
Is... It was not, once you introduce a gun, it's a different crime.
And you're holding someone hostage. Mm-hmm. Like, they wanted to leave, and he was saying they couldn't leave.
They
and he said, if you
stuff.
Leave, I will shoot you. That is not something that does not get punished in our society. To your point, however, if it was the first thing he ever had done,
he would have gotten 6 months.
However, it wasn't.
That's been my point.
He had a domestic violence
crime.
Nope,
but that's my point.
That's one of the crimes he committed.
He wasn't punished for this crime. He was punished for his past crime, for which he was found innocent.
This is where we start.
No, I'm saying the domestic violence part of it. I mean, remember,
he wasn't even tried for the domestic violence part of it.
It's part of his record.
Right.
It's part of his record.
And his record gets pushed into the range of punishments. That's how you factor it. How else do you factor in the range?
You've got to bring that into evidence then in this trial, which I'm pretty sure it wasn't.
But you look at...
When you are getting a sentence, what are you telling me? That the judge doesn't look at prior crimes, prior records? Of course he does.
Yeah, usually they don't.
No, the judge does. The jury does.
Right.
The jury does.
He's the one who assigns the punishment.
Yeah, because I remember the last time I was on a jury.
Or was it done by a judge? We should look that up.
No.
Because the last time I was on a jury, we weren't able to see what the judge saw to sentence the person we found guilty.
Correct.
Right.
I was on a jury. We gave him the best verdict we could because we were at loggerheads.
Right.
So we compromised, gave him the strongest one we could get out of the jury, And then the judge came in and we begged him, please, this couldn't have been the first time that this has happened. This guy's got to have a record. Judge, straight face, that's none of your concern.
Right.
That's my concern, not your concern. Right. If he has a record, then that comes into play in sentencing. If he doesn't have a record, that comes in at sentencing.
I remember thinking, hearing everything that the person on trial had in his past at the sentencing, thinking, man, I'm glad we found him guilty.
Me too. And if we had that information, we would have hammered him more.
Yes.
I went up to the judge after the sentence and I said, how do I live with this? How do I live with this? This guy is going to eventually get out. He'll kill her. He'll kill her. It was a domestic violence case because he had tried many times before. He's going to kill her. And he's like, he's going to spend decades because of his past. It's my job to keep him away because of his past.
I mean, wasn't OJ, honestly, I can see there's a legitimate argument to be made that OJ was punished enough when he was at that Angels game and he went down the stairs the wrong way and then flew off the top deck of the Angels in the wheelchair and flipped over and over and over again and then just landed on the bottom deck.
Was that in the ESPN documentary?
No, it was on the documentary Naked Gun. Yeah.
So not a documentary.
It was done by his friend who was like, hey, great to have you back. Hits him in the back. He goes all the way down, flips over multiple times, looks lifeless in the air. And then lands on who? We don't know.
Okay,
we never even find out.
I saw the follow-up of that. He was fine. He was jumping and running in the airport. It was the documentary Hurts.
Oh, yeah.
Remember? Because he had been so damaged, his body, and he hurt. And so the documentary, they were a very short documentary because it showed he didn't hurt. And he was running in the airport. How's that? Can play that game.
No, I like it. I got to get on this road all day. This is fun.
Confrontation lasted 6 whole minutes.
Right. Thank you.
Yeah, you should be able to be here.
What? Minutes.
I think anything under 10 minutes of imprisonment
at
gunpoint.
They couldn't leave.
Right.
For 6 minutes.
I just want to make sure you're six advocating. Minutes.
No, I'm not advocating.
You're okay.
I'm saying it didn't fit the crime. That's what I'm saying.
Oh, my God.
9 years did not fit the crime.
Okay. All right.
It really could be more.
I am so tempted to hire some very realistic mob guy to come in to Pat's house and hold him. And I'm going to say, you cannot stay past 5 minutes and 59 seconds.
If you do that, he'll meet my AR-15, so I wouldn't recommend it.
Well, then I'll have him hold you hostage someplace else where you don't have the AR-15. Mm-hmm. But I'm going to have him hold you hostage, and then we'll all laugh about how it was only 6 minutes, Pat.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.
The Glenn Beck Program.
Now, Jeffy and Pat are seriously defending O.J. Simpson for holding people hostage.
He paid for the crime.
No.
I'm just saying the punishment length did not fit.
Not even close.
You're right.
O.J. Simpson's the crime. Oh.
Because he held people at gunpoint.
For 6 minutes.
Trying to get his own stuff back.
Okay, I don't think you need to qualify.
Even though it turned out not to be his own stuff.
Stop. I want to take this one piece at a time. I think when you hold somebody at gunpoint, there's a period after that. There's 6 minutes, 2 hours, doesn't matter. Yeah. You're holding them at gunpoint.
It does matter. Now, 2 hours is worse than 6 minutes.
A lot worse.
I will say it does matter.
It may feel like two hours to the people that are being held for 6 minutes, but it's not.
Okay,
it's
I'm going to talk to you when you're held by gunpoint for 6 minutes.
I don't have OJ stuff.
Okay. I want to understand.
Neither did they.
I understand.
Well, he didn't know that.
I want to understand. He went to go get his memorabilia, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So why didn't he just go through the proper channels and Has somebody stole his memorabilia?
Yeah, well, yeah. Yes. Someone stole his memorabilia.
So why not, when somebody steals, you don't take the law in your own hands. Why don't you just call the police?
Well,
he couldn't call the police, Glenn, because he didn't have the memorabilia in a legal way the first place.
No, what happened was
he was supposed to give up all of his memorabilia to pay off the family of the people he murdered.
That is true.
And instead,
he was found innocent of, he still had to pay them off?
To whom he still owes $30 million, is it? $33 million?
He paid
them not one penny.
Right. Yeah. And so he...
Yeah. Another crime.
Not one penny.
So he didn't abide by the law?
Right.
And
another time.
So what did he do? It was because he was robbed?
No.
And somebody took those?
No. Yes. He took them. and he held on to them when he wasn't supposed to have them. And then someone took them from him, and he couldn't go to the police.
Excuse the people that took them from him.
But he couldn't go to the police because he wasn't supposed to have them in the first place.
Wow.
And then the people he went to rob at gunpoint also didn't have the memorabilia he was looking for.
May I tell you something? He also wanted to teach him a lesson.
Yes, he did.
He sure did.
And he did.
So he learned a lesson himself,
I think.
He really did, didn't he?
Yeah.
At the end of it, it's really a nice message.
He really did learn a lesson. Could I just say this, that... perhaps it wasn't just the holding people at gunpoint that he paid for. He also had the record of spousal abuse, of violence. You couple that with holding people at gunpoint, starts to get a little scarier. And then on top of it, he doesn't appear to be an honest broker of the truth.
That's one way to put it.
And breaking other laws. Mm-hmm. Not just the I'm going to steal my stuff back at gunpoint. I stole it from me so I could get out of another court order. There seems to be a lot of stuff.
Is he a saint? No.
Let me boil it down to this. I think I'm a peacemaker.
Okay, you guys. Okay.
I think we can all agree. But... stupid.
Yes. Oh, yes.
He is butt stupid. Meaning he's as dumb as my butt.
Which is not overly
not
intelligent.
Not a lot of thinking going on down there.
No.
This is the Glenn Beck Program. Mercury.